Psalm 119. Looking at a life that is described in this 119th Psalm. We've seen that it's a life that every child of God is called to live, is responsible to live, and can live. We saw last week that it's a life shaped by conviction concerning God. Tonight we like to look at the fact that it is a life shaped by a conviction concerning the Word of God. We've already stated that this life is a life that is lived in relation to God. It's a life lived in relation to His Word. It's a life of conformity to both God and His Word. We see throughout the psalm, again, we're going to be skipping around, but throughout the psalm, the psalmist declares in many different ways his conviction concerning the Word of God. He uses several synonyms to describe God's Word, and each of these declare his conviction concerning the Word of God. He uses 10 to describe it, and 7 of them are found in the first stanza in verses 1 through 8. In each synonym, there is a direct link to God. There is always a direct link to the Lord, which is expressive of the psalmist's conviction that it is God's Word. Sometimes it would do us good to, when we say God's Word, to just stop and think about that. God's Word. Many times we use that phrase without really thinking about it. There's a connection. What is written in this book is there's a connection to God. It is God's Word. So we'll just mention these 10 synonyms that you see throughout the psalm. The first one that is mentioned is in verse 1. It is referred to as the law of the Lord. Of the Lord links the law to the Lord. That phrase, the law, occurs 25 times in Psalm 119. In verse 72, it is referred to as the law of thy mouth. Again, their connection, the law of thy mouth. And in other references, it's just simply referred to as thy law. So the 119th Psalm is the expression of one who is absolutely and thoroughly convinced that the Word of God is the law of God. In other words, it is the authoritative rule and regulation of conduct. The authority behind the Scriptures, of course, is the authority of God. When he speaks of the law of God, he's speaking of God's direction, he's speaking of God's instruction, he's speaking of God's guidance to keep us straight. And so, again, the law of God is not merely for academic interest, but it is for obedience. So he had this conviction that the Word of God is the law of God. The next word he uses is the word testimonies. In verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And that word occurs 22 times in Psalm 119. Once it occurs in the singular in verse 88. We read, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." So what is a testimony? Well, a testimony conveys the idea of bearing witness. So the Word of God bears witness. To bear witness conveys the idea of confirmation. God's Word is Him confirming whatever it is that He says. A witness speaks of dependability. So the 119th Psalm is the conviction of one who believes that the Word of God is the declaration. That's what a witness does. A witness declares. It is the declaration. It is the witness. It is the confirmation of God concerning all things. And He had that conviction. We need that conviction. The next word that He uses is the word ways. Occurs in verse 3, verse 15. It's used two times in the plural. It's used seven times in the singular. We find it in verse 1. And the way speaks of a pattern. Speaks of a pattern of life marked out in God's Word. And that's what the Word of God is. It is a pattern that is marked out for us in His Word. This pattern is marked out in many, many different ways, but all the way through, it is a pattern. The idea here is something that is detailed, a detailed pattern and method for living. And the psalmist had the conviction that the Word of God was exactly this. It is also called precepts, we see in verse 4, and that occurs 21 times. Has the meaning of something that is particular, something that is very detailed. It speaks of a particular and detailed rule, a particular and detailed principle or doctrine given to regulate our thought, given to regulate our life. But the emphasis there is on detail. It is a particular detail. And God's Word gives us the particular details that will enable us to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and live a life above this world. The next word He uses is statutes. First time it occurs is there in verse 5. And again, this word occurs 22 times. It has the meaning of a directive. The directive of a sovereign. But it not only that, it's a directive of a sovereign that is inscribed or engraved. The idea here is, again, that it is a definite and lasting written rule. God's Word is definite. God's Word is lasting. We see also He uses the word commandments. That occurs 21 times. The first time we find it is, again, there in verse 6. One time He uses it in the singular in verse 96. He says, "I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." So, commandments, which speaks of a law or an ordinance of God. And again, conveys the idea that the Bible is a book of authority, but also that it is a book of order. God's Word has a marvelous order about it. So it speaks of God's authority and God's order. The next word He uses is the word judgments. First time it occurs is in verse 7. It occurs 18 times. In the 119th Psalm, and it has the idea of a precedence. God sets precedence throughout His Word. But it also has the idea of a binding verdict. a judgment, a binding verdict. So it conveys the idea of justice rooted in God's character. So the psalmist is declaring his conviction that God's word is a book that contains God's verdict on matters. It's God's verdict. It's the thoughts of God's. It's God's conclusion on a matter. It's God's determination on matters. And again, we need the conviction that this is God's verdict on everything. This is God's conclusion. This is God's determination on all matters. Then, of course, it's called the Word. We see the first time it occurs is there in verse 9. And it is referred to as the Word 38 times in Psalm 119. A word, of course, is a means of communication. The Bible is a means of communication. It is a means of God communicating with you and I. A word is a revelation. It's a revelation of a thought. Someone speaks. They are revealing what they are thinking. So it is a communication. It is a revelation. The Bible is a communication from God. The Bible is a revelation of the mind of God. A word is an expression of a thought. It is to express a thought. And the Bible, God expresses not all His thoughts, but He expresses His thoughts on various matters. So it's the revealed thoughts of God. You want to know what God thinks upon something, you go to the Bible. It is also referred to as the truth. It occurs one time in verse 30. Truth, of course, is that which is opposed to error. The Bible is opposed to error. The Bible is opposed to inaccuracy. The Bible is opposed to miscalculations and delusions. It is truth. So it conveys the idea that it is accurate. So the psalmist had the conviction that the Word of God was accurate. Truth speaks of firmness, speaks of security, it speaks of stability. And the psalmist believed all these things concerning the Word of God. It is referred to as righteousness twice in verse 40 and verse 123, which simply means it's right and just. Everything that God says is right. Therefore, everything contrary to it is wrong. So it's right and it is just. In other words, it is a book of honor. It is a book of honor. It is a book of respectability. It is a book of purity. It is righteousness. So you put all of these together, and there are 180 references to the Word of God in Psalm 119. There are 176 verses, 180 references to the Word of God, and the sum effect is that the Scriptures are authoritative, the Scriptures are powerful, the Scriptures are absolute, the Scriptures are revealing, the Scriptures are accurate, and they are appropriate in all matters, at all times, and in all places. So it was his conviction that the Word of God was not a book of suggestions, but it was, again, the authoritative thoughts of God. This was his conviction. We see it throughout the psalm. He also declares his conviction concerning the attributes of the Word of God. Throughout the psalm, he declares his view, how he viewed the Word of God. And when he does that, he does so with absolute conviction. He speaks with conviction. He speaks with assurance. And his conviction, we've already seen that the psalm makes several references to trials and tribulations. So the time of the writing was a time of tribulation, a time of trial. And as you read through the psalm, he speaks with conviction. In other words, his conviction concerning God, his conviction concerning the Word of God did not falter in the midst of adverse circumstances. Adverse circumstances only go to show how strong our convictions are on any given matter, whether it be God or God's Word. So, throughout this psalm, it is clear that he viewed God's Word to be from God. He viewed it as something that was about God. He makes, every time he refers to the Word of God, he makes a link to God, revealing time and time and time again that it was his personal conviction that this was God's Word, written by God, a revelation directly from God. This was his conviction, a direct message from God. So he gives us his view concerning some attributes of the Word of God. Notice in verse 89, it was his conviction that the Word of God was eternal, that it was settled. Verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Because it is God's word, it has the very attributes of God. It is like him. God is forever. God's word is forever. God is eternal. God's word is eternal. God is settled. And like God, his word is settled. What that means is it is immutable. It is anchored. It is established in heaven. It is secure. It is sure. It is immovable. It is forever settled. Jesus declared in John 10, verse 35, the scriptures cannot be broken. They cannot be broken. What that simply means is it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be brought to an end. It doesn't matter what someone's opinion is. It does not change the Word of God. God's Word is anchored forever. It is eternal. Now we know that kings and emperors and nations throughout the history of the world have used all their powers to try and destroy the Word of God. There are powers at work today, of course, trying to destroy the Word of God. But no matter how much they have tried, no matter how much they continue to try, the Word of God remains settled. Amen. It remains the same. It remains forever settled. It does not change. Generations come and go, but God's Word is forever settled. It is settled. It is eternal. It is immutable. He also declared his conviction that the Word of God is true. We see that he declared this by the titles he uses also, but the conviction that the Word of God was correct. It was correct. It was accurate. It was certain, it is definite, and that truth gripped his heart, and he declared with absolute assurance, notice verse 43, "Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth." He refers to it as the word of truth. In verse 142, he said, thy law is truth. Thy law, the scriptures, is truth. The attribute of that is that it is true. All thy commandments are truth. Verse 151. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. Man does not make it true. God's word is true. You and I do not have to believe it in order for it to be true. It is true whether you and I or anyone else believes it or not. And so it is true. He had that conviction. The psalmist, believing that the Word of God is true, He is absolutely persuaded that it is good. Truth is good. Notice verse 39. He says, "For thy judgments are good." They are good. That is, the Word of God is, like God, good. The Word of God is beneficial. It is beneficial to all who will obey it. It is beneficial to all who will read it and put it into practice. Being good, it is also right. Notice verse 128. Verse 128. "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." Concerning all things to be right. That has to be the conviction of a child of God if they're going to live the life that God has called them to live. The Word of God is not a subject of debate. It is right. It is right. Everything that is contrary to it is wrong. God's Word is right. Again, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." Being true, being good, being right, it is also pure. He said, "Thy Word is pure." True, right, good, unadulterated, untainted with error. No mistakes, no contradictions. It is pure. It is pure. Nothing has defiled it. God has preserved His Word. God will continue to preserve His Word. He also expressed His conviction that the Word of God was faithful. Notice verse 86. Verse 86. "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully, but all thy commandments," God's Word, "is faithful." So it was His conviction that the Word of God was guaranteed, was unfailing, it was reliable. And He said with absolute certainty, "All thy commandments are faithful." The psalmist also expressed his conviction concerning the fact that the Word of God was living. It is not just a book. It is living. It is living. Every saved individual ought to know that. You can stand up and you can quote from many a book and never offend a single person. But you cannot quote from the Word of God without offending someone. Because there's a power. There is a power. A living power in God's Word. And the psalmist stated with absolute certainty that God used His Word and granting life to the psalmist. He said in verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast quickened me." By them thou hast quickened me. It is what God uses. He uses His Word to bring quickening. He uses His Word to bring life. It is the seed. It is the seed of the new birth. So he believed that the Word of God was living. Being living, it talks to us. We don't just read it. It talks to us. Just as God is living and talks to us, God talks to us through His Word. He also believed that the Word of God was exhaustive. That is, that it was thorough. That it was in depth. In verse 96, notice verse 96, he says, "I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. So the psalmist, of course, had experienced a great variety of circumstances. But he found God's word to be more vast than all of his circumstances, to be more exhaustive than all of his circumstances, to be more wide-ranging than anything that anyone can possibly experience. There is not a single thing that you will ever experience that is more vast, that is more exhaustive, that is more wide-ranging than the Word of God. The Word of God is in depth. And I again, he says, it is exceeding broad. It excels everything in its broadness. It goes further than everything. And you and I cannot get to the end of it. You and I cannot get everything that there is, that is contained in a single verse of Scripture. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe you can read a verse of Scripture every single day and you will never exhaust it. You will never get to the bottom of it. Never. I don't care how much you study it. You will never fully cover it all. It's exhaustive. It is exceeding broad. The psalmist, again, had experienced many things in life, but he says, thy commandment is exceeding broad. That is, it is applicable to every circumstance and every condition of life. And this was something that gripped the heart of the psalmist. He also had the conviction that the Word of God was a source of light. Verse 105, he says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He possessed an assurance that God's Word would provide light for his steps. That's what it means by feet. And also for his paths, the places where he walked. So it provides light for our steps. That's the minute details that make up a walk. And it is a light for wherever he was walking, for his paths. So it was his firm belief that God's Word was sufficient for each step. And it was sufficient for every path. There are many paths that we are called upon to walk down during our earthly sojourn. And God's Word is a light for every path. For every path. Now, light does a lot of things. Light, of course, brings clarity. It brings clarity. The Word of God, the psalmist believed, would bring clarity to every step that he took. And it would bring clarity to every path that he walked down. So light gives clarity. The Word of God gives clarity. Light gives guidance. Light gives direction. It was his conviction that the Word of God would provide guidance. The Word of God would provide direction for every step and for every path that he was called upon to walk. Light also provides warning of danger. It serves as protection and safety in the midst of danger. And it was his conviction that the Word of God would warn him if he was going to take a wrong step, or if he was going to go down a wrong path, or even if you're walking a right path, the Word of God still warns you of pitfalls and things that you may have to face on that path. And it serves as protection, and it serves as safety. You can see the ditch up ahead. The Word of God makes it clear. The Word of God gives warning. Don't go there. Don't go there. So it serves as a light. That must be our conviction. Our life must be shaped by these convictions. Lastly, he expressed that the Word of God was wonderful. Notice verse 129, he said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." They're wonderful. That is, they're excellent. They're remarkable. They're a true marvel. And he believed this concerning God's Word. Now, most of Christendom will declare their belief in the Scriptures. We believe the Scriptures to be the inspired Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, and so on. And that's a good statement of faith. You can find no fault with such a statement of faith. But it must be so much our conviction that that is so, that it shapes our thoughts, that it shapes our life. Not our opinions, but what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? There are a lot, perhaps not a lot, we have some extra biblical convictions. That is, I myself, you, may have some convictions concerning some things that are extra biblical. That is, you cannot thoroughly defend by the Word of God. That doesn't mean the conviction's wrong. That's not what it means at all. But we need to understand that here's what happens a lot of times. People have these extra-biblical convictions, and there are many things we can mention, but I'm not going to go down that road. And that's what they separate over. Holidays. That is an extra-biblical conviction. I don't care if you have that conviction or not. That's fine. And there's many others. But they'll separate over it. This person doesn't do this, they're lost. This person doesn't do this, they're not Baptist. Be careful of taking an extra-biblical conviction to that extreme. Be careful of that. That's what the Pharisees did. Again, there's nothing wrong with having conviction. That's extra-biblical. But don't condemn everyone on an extra-biblical conviction. And I know, right now people are thinking, every conviction I have, I can defend scripturally. I doubt it seriously. I know there are convictions that I have, personal convictions. I can give my opinions, but you can't defend it scripturally. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's extra biblical. So we need to be careful. But we need to have a conviction that shapes our lives. A conviction that shapes our thoughts and lives. A conviction concerning the Word of God that shapes our lives, determines the life that we live. And this blessed life that is pictured in the 119th Psalm is a life of ongoing and growing conviction. Every day we ought to have stronger conviction concerning the person of God. Every day we ought to have stronger conviction concerning the Word of God. And if our conviction is getting stronger in these things, there's an ongoing and growing satisfaction. There's an ongoing and growing assurance and joy in the Word of God. And that's how we can really, truly measure whether we have these, whether it's a conviction that actually shapes our lives, is do we have a joy in the Word of God? Do we find the Word of God to be a delight? How much we read God's Word, how much we study God's Word, how much we apply God's Word to our life speaks volumes of our conviction concerning the Word of God. So that God would grant us every single day a stronger conviction concerning His Word. Because every day people are trying to tear it down. Every day people are trying to cast doubt upon the Word of God. And every day our conviction needs to be strengthened. This is God's Word. And we need to think deeply what that means. This is God's Word. There's no other book that you can compare with the Word of God. The truth is, there's no other book you absolutely need. Nothing wrong with books, but there's no other book that you absolutely need other than this one. Other than this. Remember Paul, when he was in prison, told Timothy, I believe, bring the parchments. Bring the parchments. Have to have the Word of God. So all may it be our conviction that this is the Word of God. This is the foundation, a conviction concerning the person of God, a conviction concerning the Word of God. This is the foundation for this life that is described. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.